First Chronicles, chapter 22. Verse 17. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord God and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you all. Shalom, my precious dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank the Lord for gathering all of us here today to continue this journey of soaking ourselves in the Word of God. First Chronicles 22 is focusing on the preparations that are going on for the temple construction and David's words about God's promises to remind the people. And David is encouraging Solomon, giving instructions to his son to be prepared for what is about to come. And verse 17, David gives specific instructions to the princes that they must help his son Solomon. And verse 17 and 18, David addresses the princes, what he's expecting from them as the father of the son. And verse 19, he says, this is what arise therefore to him. As a king, David gives a definition. He says, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. And David says, for him, this is called arise therefore. If you do so, then you arise. If you don't do it, don't arise. Preparing the heart, preparing the mind by seeking the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our might, in his love, in his truth, in sincerity, in humility, with selfless desire to serve the Lord and his service and his work and his purpose, that I may decrease all my life and he will increase all my life. So, verse 19, we focus on the three words David defines, arise therefore. One, set your heart. Two, set your soul. Three, seek the Lord your God. So, set and search. Amen. Set and search. Set and seek to find. So, now God has created us in soul, spirit, body as a beautiful creation of him, for we are wonderfully, fearfully made by his very own hands. And David says, if you can focus on these three things, to set your heart, to set your soul, to seek the Lord your God, then I will accept that you are ready to say, I arise therefore. What to do after this, King David? So King David says, after you do this, build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The kingdom of Jesus Christ, glorified Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, he will come and establish his kingdom. He will sit on the throne, and the Father in heaven, he commanded all of us, in whom, by whom, through whom, for whom we are all created, Jesus Christ, that we, the princes, the spiritual priesthood, royal priesthood, holy nation, who are preparing the way, for we are the people of the way, for the glorified Jesus Christ to come down and sit on the throne. And the Lord called all of us, I am the builder and the maker, but we are also the builders because God's husbandry. Amen. He said, God of Jacob is your help. I am your help and you do my work in my spirit. And his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Amen. So 1 Chronicles 22, David clearly explains what needs to be done for Solomon to come and finish the work later on. And that is how we started this series. The first day was focusing on King Solomon kneeling down before the altar, and he stood up and he blessed the people, and his prayers went up to heaven, to the holy dwelling place. Amen. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 34. Let's look at the words spoken by the kings of Israel, kings of God's people in those days. Chapter 29 verse 34. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore, their brethren, the Levites, did help them. So, priests were few, so God raised the Levites, their brethren, to help them. For they bear one another's burden to fulfill the law of God Almighty in those times. Very similar to our time, we are in the seventh church age. Until the work was ended and until other priests had sanctified themselves. So there was a grace period needed for other priests to rise and to be sanctified themselves to be prepared for the work of the Lord. So for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. This is a very unique, interesting, beautiful statement for all of us to have a scar in our heart to be reminded. A permanent scar. Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. The priests were called, sanctified, washed, anointed, clothed to do the service of God. But the Levites were born to do so. The tribe of Levi was taken by God for his service. They were born as the tribe of Levi. No one can become Levi. They have to be born as Levi. Moses, Aaron, we know the high priest Aaron, what his ministry opened the doors to all of us until today, and what Jesus Christ did for all of us on Calvary, the only sacrifice, the only atonement. So Levites were more upright in heart. So what David says in 1 Chronicles 21, he says, set your heart and your soul and seek the Lord your God. He was addressing the princess, and he told the princess, you build this ark of the Lord, you build the house of the Lord, but the Levites will carry the ark of the Lord. My dear brethren, we cannot stop in building the house. We cannot stop in building the ark. God can do it with anyone. But to carry the ark, to carry the word in our heart, to carry the work of the Lord in our life and walk the journey of Jesus Christ with the feet that preach the gospel of peace, with a shoulder made of iron by the breastplate of righteousness, the armor of God, to be able to carry the word of God in our lives, to take it to different places as the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, lead us in this wilderness. We must be upright in heart. That is, arise therefore. In the book of Ezekiel, God calls the watchman and he tells him, go to the plain and I will meet you there. So the watchman has to set his heart, set his soul. He has to seek the Lord God, as David was speaking in 1 Chronicles 21. So the watchman has to go to the plain where he see nothing but the glory of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord stood in front of him. What happened, my brethren? Never forget the scripture. That scripture is always an anchor to my heart. The Bible says, the Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet. There is no other way for us to be upright in the sight of God other than be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the life, the truth, the light that can set us upon our feet, that is the true arise, not the physical form of what we do here and there, jumping here and there, doing this, doing that, helping this, helping that. My brethren, God would just look at us and he would say, Martha, Martha, what happened to you? Do you think that you arise? Do you think that you have arisen? Do you think that you are running here and there? Relax, calm down. Come and sit at my feet. Look at Mary, what she is doing. She has chosen the right thing to do so. In the sight of God, we could be physically standing, but the Lord would say, why are you sleeping? In the sight of God, we could be resting, waiting upon the Lord at his feet, and he would say, you arise for me. I am pleased in your life because you are upright in my sight. My dear brethren, it's all about how we are seen by the eyes of God. Are we standing upright in the word, in his spirit, in his promises, in the assurance, in the confidence, in his name? We could be hurt, wounded. We could be the lame sitting outside the beautiful gate. But the Lord would say, the whole world may say you are a lame. To me, you are standing upright, waiting for my healing all the years, all the years. So, 2 Chronicles 29 made a statement of Levites were more upright in heart than the priest. And I want us to go to the next chapter, chapter 30, verse 25. So, in this chapter, Hezekiah, King Hezekiah proclaims what God did to all the people. And he was so glad that the Lord prepared the people. Passover was observed. God sanctifies the people. And the last three verses, I want us to focus. And all the congregation of Judah with the priest and the Levites. There was an addressing of two groups of people, priests and Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. All rejoiced. God is no respecter of persons, my dear brethren. Some were born, some were purchased in the house of Abraham. Let's never forget that. Verse 26, so there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, first day we meditated, David the king, we are focusing on 1 Chronicles 21, what David said. And that king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Such a joy, such a Passover was observed because God prepared the people and the Levites and the priest. Verse 27. Then the priests, the Levites arose. Let's remember what happened to watchmen. The Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet. There is no way anyone can bless the people of God if the Spirit of God is not resting upon them. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. There is only one who is the anointed. And he anointeth. There is only one, the blessed one. And he blesses. With his blessing, we bless one another. For there is only one life. There is only one Savior. And the priests and Levites who received God's touch in their lives, they arose spiritually upright in heart, in mind, in soul, in all their mind, everything as a whole creation of God. They stood upright in their attitude, in their behavior, in the way they treat people, love people, serve people, in humbleness, in humility. And they stood up and they blessed the people. Only then the blessing will stay. And their voice was heard and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Do we have the desire that our voices are heard in the holy dwelling place, even unto heaven? Or are we being so assertive that God would hear everything we say? My dear brethren, he is holy. In him, there is no darkness. Now, kings and princes, priests and Levites, that is how we see the Old Testament was focusing on God's work in different layers of God's kingdom in that time, in that place. Now let's turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 10. So David spoke so many things about what is arise therefore for him, because he wanted the princes to prepare for the construction of the temple, the house of the Lord, and to bring the ark of the Lord, to bring the holy vessels of God, so that the son Solomon can finish the work, and he did. Verse 21, verse 10 says, chapter 21, verse 10 says, David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish the king of Gath. What? David, my dear David, You spoke so many things about set your souls and your mind, your heart, with all your strength, seek the Lord, your God, arise therefore. But now you arose and ran away from Saul because of fear. What happened to you, David? Is it how we read the verse? Oh no, my dear brethren. Is it the real David that we know of? Let's go back. Let's travel back in time. That is how the grace period blesses to be tossed and fro between the old and new, to understand God who is the same yesterday, today and forever. Let's travel back in time. Three chapters before, chapter 17, verse 48, 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 48. Let's see who is the real David, the son of God. Verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. I was smiling when I read the verse. David, the champion of Philistine, coming towards you. The whole army is coming against you. And you mean you just ran toward them alone? You hasted and ran toward them? Imagine all those army would be saying, is this man running toward us? Because they might be expecting that he would be running far away from them with the fear of life. Moses ran for life from Pharaoh, but it worked together for his good. When he stood up for the daughters of the priest of the Midian, he received a wife. He came into the wilderness and he did something good for the daughters of the father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He received wife. The seven daughters, but he received one wife, Zipporah. Seven churches, but there is only one bride. The son of man, the son of David, the only begotten son of God Almighty. He came down, he stood up, and he did everything that has to be done in the 3 years of his ministry and on Calvary. And he receives the bride of Christ, the wife of the Lamb. And he will come and take his bride home. Because he stood up for us in spirit, in his righteousness. He stood up. Now David stood up and ran toward the enemy because it's a battle of righteousness that he embraced. But here in 21 verse 10, David fled because David knows God's promises are hidden in his life. He must preserve God's promises. Saul was anointed by God, not Goliath. Saul was anointed by God, not Pharaoh. So Moses ran from Pharaoh. David ran toward Goliath. But David fled from Saul because David had to wait for his time. Amen. So there are two types of arise, my dear brethren, that I want to bring to our understanding. One, that we arise and do something for God that glorifies the name of the Lord. And another one, that we arise and do something for our own satisfaction, own gratification, thinking that we do some service to God, but that is not arise. That is not pleasing to God. So now let's turn our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 50. Chapter 1 verse 50. Adonijah feared because of Solomon and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. Hallelujah. Solomon knelt before the altar, 1 Kings chapter 8. And 1 Kings chapter 1, Adonijah feared because of Solomon and he arose. He went and caught hold on the altars. What he was saying, behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. He was pleading for his life in his very own understanding, thinking that he could escape by holding onto the horns of the altar. The word of God is the altar of sacrifice that we go and fall into that sweet river to be washed, to be pruned, to come alive. But if we use the word of God, holding onto the horns of the altar, which is the heavenly partaking of our life, if we try to justify our very own life, defend our very own name, proclaiming our very own testimony for self-exaltation, self-understanding, if we do such things, we might be thinking that we arise, but it would be seen as we are a lame crawling on the floor. We may think we run and hear, but the Lord would say, why are you sleeping? So verse 52 says, Solomon, he says, if you will show yourself as a worthy man, then there shall not an hair of you fall to the earth, but if wickedness shall be found in you, you will die. So Solomon gave a warning and he let him go. And after he let him go, do you really think Adonijah escaped? No. That own understanding brought the recompense back to his head. In the next chapter, Adonijah was killed. Verse 53, chapter 1 says, King Solomon sent and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, go to thine house. Go to thine house. But we are called to go to the house of the Lord. You see how beautiful the scripture is. If you want to hold on to your own understanding, you can go to your own house. But if you want to hold on to the understanding of the Lord Almighty, you shall go to the house of God Almighty. The Lord will receive us. The Lord will receive us when we embrace His understanding. We will go to His house. If not, we will go to our very own house, our very own heart. David says, set your heart, set your soul, set your mind, set your strength, set your life as a whole, in body, in soul, in spirit. Be there where God wants you to be there. Run the race what the Lord wants you to run. So now, 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 40. Chapter 11 verse 40. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam, and Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt unto Shisha, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Jeroboam became a king in the next chapter. But here also, Jeroboam escaped from Solomon, but Solomon could not kill Jeroboam because Solomon wanted to kill Jeroboam against God's will, and nothing shall stand, nothing shall come to pass against God's will. So Jeroboam also arose and fled from Solomon, same as David also arose, fled from Saul, same as Moses also arose, fled from Pharaoh, but not the same as Adonijah also arose and fled from Solomon. No, Adonijah was caught. Shimei also arose against David, throwing stones at him. David showed mercy, but later on, Shimei got himself killed again. So my dear brethren, the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says, if you trust and obey, you shall eat the good of the land. If you disobey, you will be devoured by the sword. No other sword, there is only one sword. To bless and to judge, the double-edged sword. Jesus Christ, the Savior and also the righteous judge, the healer and also the breaker of chains, the redeemer and also the mighty deliverer, the high priest and also the advocate. Amen. He is all in all. May the Lord bless us and guide us as we continue this journey of this series on Arise, It's Time. I pray the Lord will speak to our hearts and we shall meet again tomorrow. God bless you all, my dear brethren. Shalom, and have a beautiful day in Christ. Amen and amen.